you keep us on task, Josh.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, you can it on the top.
Okay, 7:35, that's the time, since I'm the timekeeper?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
got
like
it.
5 minutes, roughly.
Okay.
Okay, so we can check out chapter 3 then. So I'm the facilitator. So does that just mean like I'm the person that's like kind of directing us?
I'm just going to ask a question, and then we're all just going to kind of talk about it.
Okay. Well,
isn't that where we on chapter 4 and 5, though?
It's 3, 4.
Oh.
Okay, well, maybe we could talk about, like, the important parts of the chapter, like, from the contents. So it says describing the learning destination, and then the chapter is on beginning with the end in mind. And so, let's see, it says describing and learning destination. So the learning destination. I think it's just basically like summarizing goals and like outcomes, kind of like where the teachers, it says develop descriptions of analyzing curriculum standard documents. And then, there's other parts maybe we can jump around to, but then, the contents, it says describing a learning destination, sharing with students, using it, and the development cycle. So, whole chapter.
Like, I know one of the biggest things that I got from the chapter was, like, putting what you want the students to know in student-friendly language. So, like, always telling them before they start doing it, like, okay, this is what I want you to know at the end. And so, like, in my mind, that jumped to, like, I can statements or, like, KUD. And, like, giving students those, like, so, especially in elementary, because an elementary kid can look at, okay, I can count to 10. Can you do that or can you not? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's just kind of like pulling from the curriculum would be I can statements, right? Like you want to mark, like you want to evaluate the curricular outcomes, but you have to make it like child friendly for them to understand what they're supposed to be learning.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what a lot of this chapter kind of talked about.
Okay, so like with the title, like with beginning with the end in mind, would that be kind of like backwards where by design, like having, I guess, yeah, the outcome?
That's what I understand it as.
Okay.
Yeah, like what do you want to end with? What do you want them to achieve? What do you want them to learn?
Okay.
Having a plan before you jump into it.
Okay. So that's good to know. It talks a little bit about, like, challenge sections. So it says, like, when quality expectations are unclear, or, like, when students arrive in class with different levels of expertise, or when the test results are all that matter. So I wonder if it's talking about, like, maybe knowing what students face, like, for challenges, too.
I think it's understanding where everybody's at, giving them a baseline and setting a standard with expectations.
Yeah.
And, like, recognizing that not every student is at the same spot and will end up at the same spot. You know, not everybody's learning path is the exact same.
Yeah, because if you're going to start with, like, okay, we want to achieve the outcome, not every student is going to be starting at the same place with that outcome. So it's, like, recognizing that.
Yeah. Realizing that learning isn't linear. It's not just one straight path to the goal. Or not always, I guess. One straight path.
Yeah, that's a good point of view. It gives, like, some examples. Like, French 7, yeah, maybe, like, writing down the learning outcomes or possible evidence. I don't know. Seems like, I don't know, just, and then there's, like, another diagram here. I guess I can maybe try and show them if you can see, but it just, that's, like, one diagram. You can't really see it very well. But, yeah, it says, like, destination, evidence, samples, / models, and evaluation. So I feel like that might be helpful for, like, writing lesson plans or something. Like, I don't know, just if you want to have more ways to, like, form your lesson plans, possibly. I don't know. So it's probably good to just know the destination of, like, it says students will, in a consistent, directed, and independent manner. So I don't know, just, it has, like, a lot of ways where you want, like, your grade 9 English class to go. And then maybe evidence, like, it gives a lot of good examples.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like this would be really helpful.
And it, like, it gives students, like, a really clear idea of what's expected of them.
Yeah.
And then that way they can, like, they can, you know, work towards their goal or the goal of the lesson better or easier. They know, when they know what they're working towards.
Well, that's good. Well, I think that's, like, mostly chapter 3. And then chapter 4, it talks about describing success. So, yeah, the contents in this one will be, like, sample and exemplar collections using samples in classrooms. So what does it look like in collecting and analyzing samples? So,
so what do you mean? What do you mean by samples? Sorry, I'm just.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it just says, like, using samples in classrooms. So I think, like, maybe that could be something you've used in the past, like, with another group, because, like, what would that look like to you? It just gives examples of, like, I think it's just, like, sample, it says, like, samples are important if quality classroom assessment is going to be effective. Samples, exemplars, models, or demonstrations can support teachers to develop criteria with students, assess and give descriptive feedback about student work, show ways to represent their learning, give evidence, help others understand more about student learning, inform professional judgment. And then there's, like, other sections on samples, like using samples to develop criteria with students, using samples to assess student work and give feedback. So I think it's, like, maybe working with the students
Or, like, would it be, like, I'm thinking more, like, I guess, like, formative, like, assessment? Like, if you're, like, say you're teaching, like, grade four math or something. I did this in my pre-internship, but, like, grade four math, and you're using, like, the fraction squares or whatever, and you're, like, observing them use the fraction squares and, like, seeing where they are and, like, who needs help and who's really understand. Like, would that be a sample? Like, does that make sense?
A sample and example work would be, like, taking past students' work and saying, reading it out loud, say it's, like, an essay and it's really well done, and saying, this is kind of what you want to model, and then also providing one that's not as well done.
Okay.
So you're setting a standard and an expectation to build off of to create a destination.
One thing that I found, like, I read in the textbook, there was one where it was, like, it talked about a teacher putting students into group and giving them, like, past students' work on what they're going to be doing, like, a project or whatever, and putting them in groups to analyze those samples and look at, like, what's good about them, what's bad about them, look at them in relation to the criteria that you're going to be marked on, and talk about what you can do to make yours better, kind of with that in mind.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so it says, like, yeah, using samples to show ways to represent learning or to help others understand learning, inform professional judgment, and then collecting and analyzing those samples. So that's a good thing.
We have 4 minutes left, by the way. Sorry, I forgot I was the timekeeper.
That's okay. Have you guys ever, like, would you keep samples?
Yeah, I think, like, yeah. I think for... Go ahead, Josh.
Sorry, I wanted to get some input here. I had an idea, yeah. It's just, like, a guidance to help students know what they're doing and where they're going and expectations, right? Just helps them be on task with what they need to do.
I honestly, like, I love when profs give, like, samples of, like, papers. It's my favorite thing ever. It, like, it almost feels like I'm cheating, but I'm not, because I really, like, try and, like, almost, like, copy, like, the way that it's formatted and, like, that kind of stuff. So I think that they're really helpful for students and for teachers, because it like I don't know if any of you have had this experience, but like explaining something to a group of kids and like only one of them understands, but like it helps, I guess, with that, like if they actually get to see what they're supposed to do, it's gonna help them understand it as well.
It's the visual representation kind of aspect of it, right?
Yeah, totally.
They can see it and actually physically look at it and be like, okay, this is what kind of I'm aiming towards.
Yeah, and I feel like students need, like, very simple directions, too, where it's like, okay, do this, and, like, showing them just makes your job a lot easier, too, in a sense, like, not easier, but just, you know, you can focus on other stuff, maybe. Knowing that, like, they understand what their tasks are. I feel like I would use that, too. Yeah, and then the rest of the chapter... let's see. So we talked about samples and exemplar collections, and then using samples, and then collecting and analyzing samples. That's basically the whole chapter. So, and then there's like a record sheet for student samples. Okay,
cool.
All right, peace out.
Pretty much done, yeah.
Okay, see you guys.
See you.